Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to go to Isaiah 58. I intended to preach this message several weeks ago when we started the fast, but it's not too late because there's some things that God's timing, snow, and all this other type of thing. Don't even worry about that because if this is the time, this is the place, this is what God wants to do. We're going to read Isaiah 58 verses 1 through 14. The responding verses will be on the screen behind me. Cry aloud. Spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, the house of Jacob, their sins. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? To the Lord. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring your house to the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness.
If you extend your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted
soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up and the foundations of many generations, and you shall call the
repairer
of the breach, the restorer of the streets of the
valley. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, and not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking in your own words. Verse 14 together. Then shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the Lord has spoken. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we take this prophetic word, even though it was thousands of years ago it was written. And Lord, it talks about fasting. And even though we're at in the last week or the last 7 days, Lord, there's something powerful that's going to happen in these last 7 days. Because Lord, it's not like we're rebooting anything, but we're coming to a place of realization that you've been getting our attention with storms and other things that have happened in our life. But now, Lord, we're ready to focus in on what you're going to do in us and through us and amongst us, and for us to be poured out as for those people that are hungry. Holy Spirit, be the director of our hearts, of our conscience, of all the things you want to do. And Lord, you're able to do exceedingly above what we could ask, even think, or even imagine. So, Lord, let your anointing be upon this house today that we would accomplish your purpose. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. I traditionally write out an introduction I want to read to you, but I'm going to bypass that to say a couple of things I think are important as before I get into the message. This last week, several things happened. We inaugurated a new president, and all over the world, there was a reaction. All over the world. But I want to tell you some things that I need to repent of the whole idea, because I didn't like what God chose. I'm going to be honest with you. And some of you, don't try to look over me. Oh, that's too bad. You are the same way. But I need to repent. God made that choice. Oh, yes, he did. Whether you like it or not. And God is going to have his way. And I need to tell you that ever since that God really convicted me of this, I've been praying for our new president. And if you go crazy, he's not my president, you are crazy. Or you need to move somewhere else, because God's got something to tell you. He sets people in order. And you know what? The scripture that really convicted me, the Bible says this, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he can turn any way he wants to. So you can get on the devil's side and try to shout and do everything else, or you can get on God saying, God, turn him around. Get his attention. So I'm saying today that this fast, and my message title today is called Fast Forward. Say, what in the world is that? Now, I know some of you used to have, remember you had cassette players fast forward? No, I know, Lee, you never had a fast forward on your cassette player. I know you couldn't do it on the ones we had in the car, you know, those big ones you put in there? You had to wait till the song came. You couldn't do that. What are those things called? A-tracks. Oh, A-tracks? Mm-mm. A-tracks, you better wait. If you want to hear that song again, wait. Fast Forward came along. But that's not what my message is about to fast forward. I mean, we're fasting for what's ahead of us. We're fasting because God has set within us that if we set ourselves to do his will on this day, there are some things ahead of us that God is preparing us for and is giving us the impact on our future. Now consider it this way. To some, it may seem a little late information, but let us consider anything that we do unto the Lord must meet the criterion of worship and the acknowledgement of the Lord, humbling ourselves and submitting to his promise. Do you know what fasting is? Fasting is worship. It really is. It's a sacrament that we say unto the Lord that we just, you know, like they would take something before the Lord and they would burn it. Or they would give it to him and they didn't expect it back. What you've given to God, hopefully, is your time and some of the food choices that you've had as far as that's concerned. And there's some power in that. But let me give you these two things we'll talk about. Does the thought of worship enter into your spirit when you think of fasting? Now, some of you are thinking what you're going to have when this fasting is over. You have planned out your meal. You've got an exit strategy. Come on, go. Don't look at me all crazy. And by the way, we're going to have our communion service next Sunday to kind of commemorate not just so much the end of the fast, but we did this thing in Jesus' name. But I want you to move from that to a place where God wants to bless you. Number two, can you catch the vision to fast in preparation for overcoming the things in the future for yourself and for others? Not just for you, but for all of us. Well, let's dive into this. Fasting will invoke the power of supernatural provision. Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 29, very portion of scripture. When Jesus saw the people that came running together, he rebuked an unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. Moving on. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Oh boy. Does that mean we have to fast every time we want to get something significant from God? I don't believe that's really what the message is trying to say. But I do believe this much, that Jesus says we must be in a constant state of allowing the Lord to put us in those times of consecration to prepare us for what we're going to face in the future. Ever been caught off guard? Say yes. If I had known this, I would have done that. God is giving you a hint. You need to do this before that comes along. You need your heart prepared and in the atmosphere of allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare us for our future. Well, Jesus was a proponent of fasting being a means of accessing the power needed to break the bonds of wickedness. How did Jesus start his ministry? In the wilderness. 40 days of fasting and prayer. But here's the thing you need to realize. The scripture says he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for those 40 days. Do you realize that when you invoke yourself to doing fasting, the Holy Spirit is the one who instigates this and he will carry you all the way through. If you try to go through in your flesh, you will always be having imaginations of Burger King. You know, chicken and waffles, you know. I'm setting you up today. Y'all are going to be mad at me when I'm done. Okay. No, but the issue is this, that his focus was on being led by the Spirit, and it was a time of worship for him to prepare him for his ministry. Consider this. He launched his ministry in the wilderness by fasting and prayer. He was led by the Spirit during that time, and he continued the practice throughout his entire ministry. It wasn't a one-time deal. He said, oh, thank God, we made it through this particular time. Oh, I hope they don't do this again next year. Oh, honey, you should have several times between now and then. And it may not be 21 days. It may be 2 days. It may be just a day. It may be breakfast. It may be something else. But the time you set aside is for preparing for something in the future. But we are so in the moment right now. We don't think about there's some things that we're facing in the future that we're not prepared for because we didn't choose to be prepared for them. So what does this mean? It means this, that fasting is not just an event to serve personal needs and focus. That means the purpose is preparation to bring hope and deliverance for those in need. It's not just for me, it's for you. Would you like to be in the presence of someone that's prepared to give you something that you need? I say, well, I'm sorry, or rather than say, I really can't help you with that because, well, the only reason why is because is I'm not prepared to. God is doing something to equip us as a body of people and as individuals to do the things that he's called us to do. Well, that means it's a preparation for things to come. And Jesus' disciples wondered why they could not garner success in dealing with the young child. I'll tell you, there's one word that I'm guilty of, and perhaps you are too, presumption. Presumption. We presume, it's going to be okay, and it wasn't okay. Oh, he'll be fine. No, it won't. There's a lot of people that started out on icy roads that thought it was going to be fine that crashed and burned. Oh no, we don't need studs on our tires. We don't need no chains, honey. I got this. They got a telephone pole. A tree. My heart is to the place where we need to allow ourselves to not to predict future events that are going to be negative, but prepare our hearts for what God wants us to do. Well, the chosen fast of the Lord has intent and purpose. And if you go through this particular portion of scripture in Isaiah, and I would encourage you, it's not a long chapter. You might consider reading it every day for the last remaining 7 days that we're corporately fasting together. But each time I would read it through, I would find something else that would just step out and it would just catch my notice. I said, I thought, how didn't I get that the first time? Does that ever happen to you that you've read a scripture and then all of a sudden something jumps off the page and you realize, oh, I didn't realize that was in there. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God is active and it's powerful. It's just not laying on the pages. But all of a sudden, as your heart is fixed on Jesus, he brings that out to you and it's life and peace to your soul. It's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing thing. So the chosen fast of intended purpose is there's some things that he says here. He says, it's for freeing people from bondage and wickedness. Wickedness is only done by the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is the fast I've chosen. And I'm going to tell you this, that we meet people that are bound by the enemy every day. Yes, we do. Or bound by circumstances. It's not, and I'm not talking about people flailing and demon-possessed and this type of thing. I'm just talking about bound by the enemy in fear. Or bound by the enemy in illness. And God says, I want you to fast forward in the fact that you could meet somebody in a few weeks and you'll be able to say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed or be delivered. Do you know what? That's what God has an inheritance for you as we choose this particular life of consecration. Another thing he says here is, yokes of bondage capture the lives of many people and leave them with no hope. You know what the world's solution is for bondage? A prescription. We have medicated ourselves into oblivion. And I realize that some people say, well, I've got to have this and I got to have that particular thing. And you know, I'm not going to argue with you over that. But you know what? Jesus made your body. He knows everything that's wrong with it. And you know, he's got the power, if we can believe him in many cases, to deliver us. But do not feel condemned if you do have some medication things that you take. But I'll tell you what, but we're too quick to jump on a prescription. Let's go to Jesus first. Let's say, come on. Let's let him be our first response toward an illness or something going on. Call on Jesus. I dare you to call him first. Because that's what he wants to see. Because he can break the bondage. Because I'll tell you what, if you look at the news report, is we're at a point of crisis where we have over-medicated ourselves. It's too easy. But you know what? Calling on Jesus is even easier. You don't have to wait for the pharmacy to open. You don't have to catch up with the doctor's nurse to write the prescription. You just call on him and he's right there. That's okay. Go ahead and shout. That's okay. We fast to prepare ourselves to break the yokes of those held captive by the worldly addictions. Some of us are pretty quick to front. I'm so glad I'm not addicted. But you are. So am I. He said, do you have an addiction? I found out I have an addiction to the evening news. No, it's bad. It's really bad. You know, David Muir at 5:30 if I'm home, and Scott Pelley at 6:30 if I'm not. Right. Now, that's sad. Hear a rerun of the same bad news. But you know, I'm going to break that addiction next week. I ain't studying neither one of them next week. The world will go around without my participation. No, but the addiction is, and I had to analyze, why is that so important to me to find out everything is going on? They said, well, you need to be knowledgeable. But in some cases, honestly, I really do. It does invoke me to pray. But in some ways, that's an excuse. But I want you to know that if I spent that time really calling on Jesus to things that he's calling me to do, I think I would make the world of a difference for someone else who's in need of intercession. We are saints that can rest in the finished works of Christ. That means we live by his example. The lifestyle of fasting was a model for Jesus for a reason. And we must be willing to embrace a lifestyle that may not conform to the norms of our culture. I heard this before. It doesn't take all that. Who told you that? That's right. Aren't you going to an extreme? You know, God is a God of grace, and he's loving, and he's kind, and you don't need to put yourself in that particular place of suffering. You know, it's grace, grace, it's all by God's grace. I know that. But if that's the case, if Jesus was our model, I want to do what Jesus did. I want to be like him. That's important. Well, we fast forward knowing that there will be times of great need in our lives and in the lives of others. Two words: oppression and depression. Can I define those the best way I can? Oppression is the times in your life when you feel like you're just being pressed upon, and it's in the atmosphere. You're not necessarily isn't got to your mental capacity, but you just kind of feel something ain't right. You can't get activated, or you can't get happy or engaged like you'd be able to used to get engaged. Then the devil will ratchet it up in that notch, and you become depressed. Because he says, if you're really spiritual, you would be able to do something about this. So he's putting pressure on you to perform to fix it. And if you can't, depression sets in. What kind of Christian am I? Are these prayers for naught? I know I'm getting through to somebody today because that's how you've been feeling. But consider this. Adolescence are becoming inundated with issues that used to daunt people far beyond their years. The idea of young people being depressed and oppressed at this particular point, I mean, I'm sorry, when I was these kids, I didn't have a care in the world. We were building soul boxes out of wagons, wheels, and we were getting big boxes from the store where they, you know, no big boxes, they ship stuff in, we get those things, we slide down the hill. Okay, we were poor, so what? No, we had some fun, but nowadays it's not that way. Our kids get depressed because their Game Boy's not working or their Xbox. This thing isn't any good, I need an upgrade up. Yeah, well, that's another story. I'll get into a different message. Let me stop right now. Fasting will release compassion and hope for those in need. Isaiah 58, verse 7, we'll review that again. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? It affects me. I hope it does you. When I see people on the side of the road with tents and various other things and bicycles and on the entrance to the freeway or this particular place or just in the middle of nowhere. It affects me. The least that you can do is pray. Don't just drive by, but call on Jesus. And then he may tell you that just for a moment, you may be the opportunity to help them in their situation. Everybody that's on the side of the road is not a transient or a bum. They're a human being. And you need to stop judging people by where they are or what they look like. And I'm saying that to me as well as I'm saying to anybody else. Some people say, oh, it's just not safe. You know, there's a lot of things happening. That's a good cop-out or an excuse. But when the Holy Spirit told you to do it, the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing you. Do not resist what God is telling you to do. Fasting opens up your heart. And compassion flows out of your life. Well, soften your hearts, release prayers, and giving toward those in need. It would charge to change your view about those who are homeless. Something real happens in the hearts of those who will allow themselves to engage with those that are of like human flesh. Going to that, Jesus told the people to bring the boy to him. This is before this whole thing happened. Mark chapter 9, verse 19. He says, and he answered them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. This is before Jesus healed the young fellow. But the things he says about us are true. They're true. Oh, faithless generation. Let's talk about me. I call myself a Christian or a believer, and then I find excuses to bypass the things that I could get myself involved in that Jesus may be prompting me to. You know, the county services should be doing a better job of facilitating housing, and we just go on and on and on and on. But wait a minute. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" Repeat those words with me. Bring him to me. The least you can do is bring him to Jesus. That's the least you can do. And I won't belabor that point because I want to finish here in just a moment or two. Well, the Lord has told us to do the works that he did and greater. He says, "Greater works shall you do than because I go to my Father." And that means that when we fast, we should prepare ourselves for opportunities to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you just fasting to get to the end? Like, "I made it 21 days, no coffee, yay. There we go. Starbucks is a little lighter because of me." If you thought this was a marathon to see whether you could finish and not get off, jump off the wagon, whatever, you missed the whole point. I believe that God's desire, and I believe he has, and he has more to do these next 7 days to change me even greater so I can be a more effective servant for him. So that's what I'm about to take away from this whole experience. Well, when we choose to fast forward, we will experience great blessings. We will experience great blessings. What does that mean? Well, we will experience personal breakthrough and blessings when we realize that fasting is a demonstration, and note the word I added to it, of true worship. What's the difference between true and false worship? False worship is to the God of self. Sometimes we can cloak it in the fact, "Well, it's all about Jesus, it's not about me." We know, we can tell. You don't have to announce it to me. I'll already know it. So you missed it right there. But it's interesting when Jesus says, he says, when you fast, go in your closet, you know, anoint your head, wash your face. Don't make a big deal about it. And some of you that have been fasting, you know, say you went to work and they say, "Well, we're all going out to lunch, da da da," and this type of thing. "No, I can't do it. Can I get a rain check out on that in 3 weeks? 3 weeks, I'm good. But right now, I can't do it. Well, I'm in this religious thing I'm doing for God." Yeah. You hypocrite. No, I'm going to resist the sidetrack. I'm going to resist it. We abandon our plans and pursue his purpose. Leave your plan over here, but pursue the purpose of God. But what about this? The light of Jesus within us will break forth with power and anointing. That's what the scripture says. The light in you will break out to the point people say, "Well, whoa!" They're saying, "What happened to you? I mean, the light of Jesus seems to be so radiant out of you because it increases the intensity as you fast forward." And people saying, "Whoa, I've never seen you like this before." I got to go to my favorite scripture. I didn't give it to these folks, but it's, you, many of you can repeat it by heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here we go. In case you don't know, it says, "If my people who are called by name, my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land." First of all, let me tell you, you are called by the name of Jesus as a Christian. You're called by his name. We will humble ourselves and pray. I'm not talking about those little, you know, "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayers. I'm talking about, I know this sounds ridiculous to some of you, but grabbing the horns of the altar. I don't even know what that's like, so I've never seen horns on altars, but I'll tell you what. But I can picture it in my mind that there's a place where you anchor yourself that you're going to stay there until God does something. So he says, "Humble themselves and pray and seek my face," but here's the part for all of us, "and turn from their wicked ways." That means God will reveal to us there's something about you that needs to get straightened out, and don't leave here till it's done. The first person you should pray for on your knees is, Lord, get me right so I can really approach those that are in need. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. We're just about done. The focus of fasting is not getting, but being all that Jesus wants us to be. Fasting forward anticipates opportunities in the future that we can bring glory to the Lord. I'm looking on the horizon of the things that God has for us, for me personally, for us as a church. On the horizon of this is that we're just beginning to come into alignment to meet some of the things that God has set before us. And so it's a time of preparation. And I believe, you say, well, we fasted for 14 days, but I believe that God's not counting the days. He's counting the idea where you've got yourself really focused on him. And if you haven't done it the first 14 days, it's okay. But you have seven more. Just tune yourself up and do what you can do at that particular point. Well, prayers that we once thought were not going to be answered will come to pass. Can I speak to people here that says, you know, I've already prayed about that, and I guess God's got it on hold. I don't know whether God's going to ever answer that or not. Let me help you with that. God's going to do it. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to strengthen you in that particular effect. Because Jesus desires that we have an intimate relationship with him, and he will remove the yoke that has hindered us from fulfilling our purpose. Which simply means that he will deliver us from false judgment and wickedness if we confess our sins. False judgment and wickedness. Well, how about this? The Lord promises the very last of the dissertation in Isaiah. He says this: the Lord promises that his hand of guidance to reveal to us his plan and will for our lives. When we encounter difficulty, he will give us faith to move forward. I wish I could have pulled that little poem for you. And if you ever, just Google it. It's called Don't Quit. Don't Quit. Just Google that particular play. Oh my, it was written probably over 100 years ago. But basically, it talks about the fact is the best thing that is going to happen in your life, if you just take one more blow with a hammer, that's going to be your breakthrough. But you can count one thing short of receiving a breakthrough by saying, it's not going to work. You know, I had a little problem. Actually, when I left church here last week, my car died at Fred Meyer. The battery died, you know, cold weather, blah, blah, blah. And so we called AAA, and AAA said, we got about 3-hour backup. I was thrilled. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, did I have battery cables? No. So I called my beloved sister, and she was so kind to come rescue. She didn't have jumper cables either, but you know what? I went through the parking lot. I found me some jumper cables. You got some cables over here? I was not shy. I found me some cables, y'all. Got me the hookup. But they weren't them jumbo jellies. There's those weak willies. They kind of grab a hold of it and kind of loose. So I go like, I said, rev the motor. We tried it 4 times. And just as I was about to quit, God said, do it one more time. Kavoom! Listen, you're on the brink of a breakthrough. Don't quit. If it didn't work the first, the second, the third, and I was, three was not a charm. Number four did the job, okay? Don't look at the numbers. Look at the opportunity. That if God says stay with it, he will take care of it. I don't know how I got there, but I'm getting off it right now. Here we go. Fasting produces the patience necessary for Jesus to perform the work in our hearts to embrace our future, which says this very simply. He desires to rebuild the ruins of our lives and revive the things that have laid dormant. Anybody got dormant things in their life? Wave your hand at me. Come on. Be honest. God wants to revive those things. And I believe, and you say, could he do that in 7 days? He could do it in 7 minutes if you let him. But if it takes you 7 days, I'm not going to judge you. But I'll tell you what, there's some things in your life that God wants to revive, and we need to trust him in these days ahead that he can do that. Furthermore, he will reestablish the foundations that need to be to support your future. Do you know why God hasn't put you into your future events? Because your foundation is shaky at best. Right now, he's digging you a little bit deeper. No, the higher you go is the deeper you got to go. Those big high rises downtown, they're not sitting on the ground. They're sitting on a foundation that goes deep into rock, deep beyond there. It goes, the higher you're going to go, the deeper you've got to go. You're going to need to go deep for these next 7 days, and God's going to do something with you. Well, fasting forward will prepare you to take your place. And so in verse 14, Isaiah 58, 14 says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Anybody delighted in Jesus today? Yes. Here we go. And I will cause you to ride on the hills of the earth. Woo! Glory to God. And feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Well, you will find your identity and your delight in the Lord. You will encourage others to find and occupy their place in the Lord. And you'll rejoice in being a part of the puzzle, occupying your place that only you fit. Last week, if you weren't here, and I know the number of you were not here, we gave out a particular piece of the puzzle, and a couple of things happened with that whole thing, you know. And as I was giving those out, I met a lady at the door. And so we have something for those of you who didn't get that. The ushers are going to give those to you in just a minute. And inside this little packet, it says this. You may not know how. You may not know where. You may not know when, but you fit. God made you. We made you to complete the picture of God's purpose and plan for us and for you. In just a minute, I want those of you to raise your hand if you didn't get this piece of the puzzle last week. And then I'm going to tell you a few things about this that I kind of figured possibly could happen. So if you didn't get a piece of the puzzle this week, ushers, just come out. Some of you come down the front and just give them out to the folks with hands that are raised. There's people all over this place. Get them out as quickly as you can, quickly, because I've given a bunch of them out. Just give them out, give them out, give them out, give them out. And while you're giving them out, I want to tell you this. Do you have the completed puzzle? Can you put that up on the screen, the completed puzzle? I think Sean made a slide of that thing. Do you have it up there? Did he put it in the rotation? If he didn't, it's okay. He didn't. Okay, that's okay. That's fine. I wanted to show you the completed puzzle. But it doesn't really matter because a couple of things have happened. As I was leaving the service on last Sunday, a lady came up to me and she said, can I have a piece of the puzzle for my mother? I said, well, sure. Just fine with that. She'll get this. She says, you know, because she's in hospice. And she only has a few more days to live. And she's going to be with Jesus. Amen. Then, of course, you know, my rational mind says, well, if I give her a piece of puzzle, if we ever want to put it together again, if I never see this lady again, I'll never get my piece of puzzle back. And then the puzzle will never get put together. That shows you how spiritual I am. I am so spiritual, I could make you crazy. And then the other piece of it was that I talked to a friend of mine this morning. He says, bro, let me tell you what happened. The piece of puzzle you gave me, I don't know what happened, but I lost it. I don't have it anymore. I don't want you to get religious about this, but I want to tell you, as long as you had it, you still fit. As long as it was given to you, God is not going to take it away. It was given to you. God has put gifts in your life. He's given to you because he knows that you fit in what he's making. So there's nothing religious about this, but I want you to have this and hold on to as long as you can. If you lose it tomorrow, if you lose it, it doesn't matter. But you had it at one point. And it's a message to you from God that you are a part of his plan, of what he's building, and you're connected to other people that you can fulfill those things in your life. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to end this service, but in a way that I believe that God is going to make this significant for people in this room. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The power of God has been in this place. And as Shantae was leading us in worship, and she just was prophesying hope over people here, that where she was once homeless, just she and her daughter, and how God has taken her from a place to of homelessness to far beyond what she could ever imagine. But I don't want to talk to you just about stuff. I want to talk to you about your life right now with Jesus. But some of you have been trying to find for a long time a place where you can really surrender yourself to Jesus and do something significant with your life, with your heart. I need to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is calling you. The Holy Spirit is here wooing you into his presence. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to just speak prophetically to several people here. The word that the Lord brought to mind is disillusionment. Some of you get disillusioned with the church, with yourself, with circumstances, with politics, whatever it happens to be. But I need to tell you about Jesus. Jesus loves you. He made you just as you are. You are not a mistake. In spite of all your problems and in spite of all your failures, he is here to invite you into his kingdom. He's here to restore you back right relationship with him. There are no less than three people. I don't know how many there are here, but today you need to get yourself realigned with God. Some of you for the first time, and some of you to come back home to a relationship with him. And I'm going to pray. And in my prayer, that prayer is to break off anything in you that tells you you're not worthy or that you don't fit into God's plan. In the name of Jesus. In the name that's above every other name. Lord, there are young people here. There are adults here. There are those in senior years that would say, you know, my opportunity to go with Jesus is far past. After what I've done, after what I've said, how could I come to him? But I want to tell you, he's the only one you can come to. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us the faith to acknowledge today that we need you more than we could even confess. And Lord, for people in this house today that feel disenfranchised, that feel that they're hopeless, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that they would have confidence, they would respond to this call to the altar to get their lives changed. Lord, you've already administered healing here, but now, Lord, you want to go to the real place in our hearts where we can be in oneness with you. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Jesus is speaking to you. If God is speaking that over you right now, lift your hand saying, you know, Pastor, that's me. And I need to get aligned with God right now. Just lift it up high where I can see it because Jesus is here. That's right. That's right.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.